He gave himself. Christ is risen.
Risen indeed.
Amen. That's what we are celebrating this morning. And that's what we are fixing our lives, fixing all that we do, to be able to be reminded of this message today, that Christ has risen. Mercy triumphs. As we're looking today at God's holy words, we're reflecting on this day that God has given to us to set apart and to remember. We're focusing today on this idea that mercy triumphs. We started this morning off with a stage that was gray and black and unlit. To remind us that there was sin in the world. To remind us that you and I were guilty in God's eyes. And as we sang that Christ rose from the dead, the stage transformed just as life itself transformed on Easter day. Christ arose. And so we see now, instead of a place of mourning and a place of sorrow, we see a place of life and joy. And that is what Easter brings us today to remind us, that there is life, that there is joy, that there is hope for tomorrow. Mercy triumphs over what we deserved. Let's pray. Our Father God, we come into your presence this morning and we're in awe. We are amazed that you, the living God, found a way to bring us into relationship with you. The scriptures tell us that while we were your enemies, that you sent Jesus in our place. When we still were on our own, living for ourselves, you were already working to restore a relationship with us. And so this morning we rejoice that you found us. We rejoice that we have heard the truth. We rejoice that we are part of your family. We rejoice that we have a Savior. I pray today that as we hear these words from your holy scriptures, that we would be changed, that we would live each day going forward in light of this one moment, in light of the empty tomb. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 1 Peter. Peter was one of the people that first went to the tomb, right after the ladies went to the tomb. And in his book, when he was writing about what happened, he writes this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master, Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and that future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future, and the day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. This morning as we reflect upon Easter, we start off with this amazing first phrase here, how fortunate we are. Because here Peter is looking at what we, the recipients of this amazing day, have received. How fortunate we are this morning that there is an empty tomb. As we leave today, we're going to be reflecting upon this moment. How fortunate you and I are. We are fortunate, this text says, because we have a brand new life. We have a new beginning, a new birth. As we stop and reflect upon where we are today, we can also remember yesterday. We can remember our past when we were not who we are today. The scripture tells us we have been given a new birth. We have been given the ability to change, to become something different, to become something we did not have the ability to before. We have the chance today to make decisions because we are alive to God. We are alive to what God is doing. We can hear his voice today. He is speaking to us. Now, how many of you have woken up and thought about yesterday and said to yourselves, I hope today's better. Thought about the past and said, yeah, I need a new start. What happened yesterday, what happened a year ago, what happened 10 years ago, it's bearing me down. It's pulling me away. We have a new life, a new beginning. There's no reason to be making the same choices we've made in the past. The choices to live for ourselves, the choices to turn to whatever it is that gratifies ourselves. We have a choice today to live our lives for God. The scripture also tells us that we have not only been given a brand new life, but we have been given a new hope. We have a hope that includes a future in heaven that starts now, that starts today. So I ask you this morning, if death wasn't a barrier, what would you be doing with your life? We've heard inspirational stories in the past of people who have faced that moment of death and somehow gone beyond and survived. They faced cancer and then were healed and kept going. But if I was to ask you in a broader sense, if death wasn't the end, if there was something beyond the grave, what would you be living for today? What about your life is worth investing in that could last 20 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, forever? What is it that you are spending your energy on? What would you like to spend your energy on that could last forever? And really, the only thing in this room, anything in this country, the only thing in this world that lasts that long are people, our spirits, our soul. Because you and I are created to live for eternity. And so what we have today as we think about what could I do that would impact all of eternity is invest in the people that God has put in your life. Invest, get to know, spend time with, encourage, help, support, find ways to help them advance in their life. And the greatest ways this morning that we're hearing and seeing is helping them to see there is an eternity with God. If death wasn't a barrier, what would you live your life for? For some of us, that's very practical. It's changing laws so that tomorrow is a better life for everyone. For others, it's in business, making it a better workplace so that workers have their rights and have a way to support their family. For some of us, it's sharing a snack in school with a friend. Because changing lives around us isn't something massive, and it's not just something tiny. It's all that we have. It's our life. We invest our lives in others with a view towards what eternity has to bring. A living hope, it says. We have been born again into a living hope. How many of you have ever wondered about this weekend that we're celebrating? We have this thing called Body Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday. But something got skipped there, didn't it? What day got skipped? Children? Who knows your days of the week?
Saturday
got skipped. Why? Saturday is this day when nothing happens. Saturday is this day when Jesus had been taken off the cross and put in the tomb. Nothing else has happened. How many of us find ourselves in a Saturday? Not in the sense that it's free, but in a sense that we've lost something important. We've lost a dream. We've lost a loved one. We've lost the reason to live. We've lost our health. We've lost our job. Saturday is the day the disciples went through and wondered, what now? Do I go back to fishing? Do I go back to ordinary life? I thought we had everything, they said. And they lost it. Saturday is the day where Jesus' body was cold in grave, sealed up. How many of us find ourselves in that empty Saturday? Trying to find hope and realizing what happened yesterday destroyed it all. I think we need to spend those moments reflecting on Saturday. But we spend those moments reflecting on Saturday, knowing that Easter does come. Because we have been born again to a living hope. And this living hope says that we have the reason to dream now. We have the reason to live now. We have the reason for our lives to keep going forward. And it's not based upon yesterday. It's not based upon what I have done. It's not based on what other people have done. I have a living hope for tomorrow because of what Jesus Christ has done. And that's that he did not stay in that grave. He did not stay dead. He rose again. Yes, we face tragedy. Yes, we face sorrow. Yes, we face pain in this world, and we go through that. But today, on Easter Day, we go through those sorrows, those disappointments, and that loss with hope, a living hope. A living hope that this life is not all there is. That there is something beyond the grave that is worth living for. We have a hope that goes beyond our lifetime, beyond our children's lifetime. We have a hope that's fixed on the eternal. Because the living God loves us. We have been born again into a living hope. A future that includes heaven and a future that starts now. Have you noticed that what we're talking about this morning is a bit out of the ordinary? Resurrection, new life? Easter is the miraculous. Easter is when the norm stops and something extraordinary happens. Easter is when God steps into our time and space and does something amazing. He brings new life. Easter is the day that we can stand on and say, I believe in a God who cares for me. And who enters into my life and brings life to me. Easter is our hope when things get dark. Easter is our hope when there is sorrow. Easter is our hope when there is pain. Because Easter tells us that God cared enough to step into our life, to change our life. And that He's not done with me. He's not finished with me. He's not going to leave me where I'm at. He has a hope for me. He has a plan for my life. And He has a plan for the life of those that are close to me. See, I have hope for friends of mine today that aren't walking with God. Not because I'm near them and I can encourage them and point them to God. I have a hope for friends in my life that don't know God, that have rejected God, because God is alive and working in their lives. This is a day about hope. A hope that God is changing lives. Lives that I see in front of me, lives that you see around you, and lives that are in our countries of origin, whether that's South Africa or Holland or the United States, Central America, wherever. God is a God who's changing lives today. And today we stop and we realize that this affects me. I have this living hope. It also says here that God is the one keeping watch over this. How many of you ever have been stuck in that moment where you can't go on out of fear or anxiety? You've been stuck wondering, what about tomorrow? Maybe it's because of a job, there's something big coming. Maybe it's your children are out of your reach and you can't control them. How many of you have been stuck in that paralyzing moment of fear and said, I'm helpless? These verses here tell us that God is the one keeping watch over us and over our future. God is the one keeping watch over the ones I love and the ones I care for. God is the one watching over every single person's life and knowing what's going on in their lives and protecting them. We are protected by God. We have His peace. The reason we can go forward is because we know that God is in control. The reason we have this hope for tomorrow is God is working in our lives. God is a God of peace. How fortunate we are. We've received mercy. We deserved punishment. We deserved the price for our sin, but we received mercy. Mercy in such a way that we realize that we have new life. We have a living hope. And we have peace with God. Easter. The tomb is empty. But how great the cost. We started off this morning, and we have to come back to it now. The reason for today that we're celebrating is because of the cross and the great price that was paid. It's easy for us to celebrate. It's a lot harder for us to turn that focus onto ourselves and say, who am I? Scripture tells us that the foolish man is the one that looks in a mirror and he forgets what kind of a person he is as he goes away. But that verse is talking about you and I today, because we like to think of ourselves as really good looking. We like to think of ourselves as having our act together. We like to think about the competencies that we have developed through life. We always present our best side to people. We put on our suit and tie as we show people who we are that we want them to see. But this day is also the day that we stop and see ourselves for who God sees us as. See, the reason the cross exists is because you and I chose to live our lives for ourselves. I chose to live for me. I chose to look away from God towards myself. This text here tells us that it was our dead end, empty-headed life that God rescued us from. It says in verse 18, it cost God plenty to get you out of that dead end, empty-headed life that you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. The reason that we don't pay for the sin that we've committed is because God paid for it. He took our place. And the symbolism here is of sacrifice. The reminder here of old school, when people actually thought animals died in their place, that's because God set that up. He said that there has to be blood shed if you sin. And for a while, animals covered that with their blood. But Jesus came as the perfect sacrifice so that his blood wouldn't just cover our sins, but take it away.
Hallelujah.
My sin, but Jesus on that cross. And each one of us, as we reflect on this day, needs to see in the mirror that that's the cost of our salvation, is Jesus being on the cross. It was my life that I grew up in. This is very personal when you stop and realize the choices that you and I have made to get to this point today. The shortcuts we've claimed, the ways we've hidden from others, there's that very personal, real sense that I have not lived up to what God expected of me, or I turned away from Him. But there's also the reality here that we as human beings have grown up in sin. All of humanity is sinful because of Adam choosing to walk away from God, to disobey. And his sin has impacted each one of us. It gave us the example that we're stuck with, of living for ourselves rather than for God. Of living a relationship, turning our backs on God rather than in relationship with the Creator, God. But as the girls sang, he paid the price so that we could be restored to that relationship. And so my place was taken on the cross. At the beginning of the service, we read out the words that were spoken on the cross, the last words that were spoken. Do you remember them? Jesus' last word before he died? It is finished. Paid in full. Yours and mine and the sins of the whole world was paid for in full by the God-man, Jesus Christ. Fully God, fully man, paid for us. And so this morning we recognize that the cost is great. So Easter, it is finished. And also, how simple it is. We've seen how fortunate we are. We've seen how great the cost. And how simple it is this morning to receive what God is offering. This last verse that we look at here, verse 21, says, "It's because of this sacrificed Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust in God, and you know that you have a future in God." How simple it is. Trust. It's simply about that. Of saying that what God has done is enough. There's nothing I can add to or take away from what God has done in order to receive this eternal life. Because of our sacrificed Messiah, we trust in God. Because of our sacrificed and resurrected, come back to life Messiah, we believe in God. And so our trust is in God, who raised Christ from the dead. And as simple as understanding, it's as simple as believing, and simple as obeying. You see, the verse here says, it's all that we do is trust. God has done the work. God has paid the price. God has brought us to this point today. But we simply believe. And so Easter is that as well. I believe. Easter is this moment where we say the tomb is empty. Easter is the moment where we realize it is finished. And Easter is the moment where we say, I believe. I believe in the miraculous. I believe that God has done what I could not do. And so this morning we remember, the tomb is empty. I have life and hope and peace if I believe in this. This morning we remember that it is finished. My choices, my sins are paid for in full. And this morning we make the simple statement, I believe. This is for me. I choose this. So this morning as we close this message time, we go back to singing and worshiping. Remember that Easter is about the resurrection, the empty tomb. It's about the miraculous. It's about God taking my place. Let's pray. Father God, we come and we celebrate Easter. We celebrate this day that you rose from the dead. We celebrate because of the amazing impact it has upon my life, upon our lives, upon the lives of this world. For we are no longer left to find a way to come to you, but we simply believe the path that you have made for us. We believe this morning. We believe because it's all that's left for us to do. We choose to obey. We choose to follow. So, Father God, I pray this morning for those in this room, if they are hearing and believing for the first time, confirm to them that this is the fact of life, of eternity. It's Jesus living in us. We celebrate this morning, and we rejoice. In the name of Jesus, amen. As we get music going next door, perfectly timed, thank you. We're going to have a chance now to share together our common belief. As a church, we celebrate that by reciting the Nicene Creed together. We memorize it. No, we haven't. We have it up here on the screen. I'd like to join you. This is what you're believing today. You're believing in our resurrected Lord. You're invited to read with me as it's up here on the screen, this Nicene Creed. Please stand and let's read together. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. He rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. We're going to partake very shortly at the Lord's table. But before we partake, I just want to give you some logistical instructions.